at 9 a.m. Friends of Jordan is an organization that provides support for families as they go through the trials of serious childhood illness. This fun run and walk will raise funds for Adult in Reno, a 22-month-old from Salem. Again, that's the Friends of Jordan 5K and Kids Run on Saturday, October 11th at 9 a.m. at Forest Grove High School, 1401 Nichols Lane in Forest Grove. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the home page under Community Events.
What's up, everybody? This is Goddess, and She, and you're tuning in to KBOO Portland. Holla at your girl.
Welcome to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO Portland. My name is Carla, and tonight we have three special guests that are going to be joining me in studio. First, we're going to be speaking with Max Voltage, who is an artist and a musician and an event producer who's been on Out Loud a couple times in the past. Hopefully, you're already familiar with Home Momentum. There was a musical recently, last fall, and Max is here tonight to share some music from Home Momentum and to talk about an upcoming boy band that Max is putting together to continue the love of Home Momentum into the future. We're also going to be hearing from Dom, who is involved with St. Herodin, which is they are in town in Portland for this. They were here last week and they're here this week. And we're going to hear about their clothing made to measure for female and masculine of center individuals. And we'll be hearing from Dom and a lot more about their business philosophy and what they've been doing here in Portland. And later in the show, we're going to be hearing from Glenn, who is working with the Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition. We're going to be hearing about their report, the State of Oregon Safe Schools. And we're also going to be hearing about the Oregon Safe School Awards that are going to be given out next weekend at an event that they are having. So stay tuned to hear from these special guests and some music. Again, we're going to be featuring some music from Home Momentum and some other music that kind of helps with the vibe that we're setting up this evening. Now, before we get to our show this evening, I want to let you know how to connect with us online. We love to hear from our listeners. Our email address is outloudradio@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter if you search for KBOO Out Loud. You can connect with us there and hear all sorts of updates about the show, what's going on within the world of KBOO. Now, if you'd like to get involved and volunteer, just as a reminder, this is a volunteer-created radio show, and we are always looking for more people to get involved. You can find out how on the KBOO website, kboo.fm/volunteer. Now, you do not need to have any previous radio experience. KBOO offers lots and lots of training. You just need to have a passion for what's going on in your community, and we'll teach you how to tell those stories here on the radio. So hopefully we'll be meeting you here at KBOO soon. Now, stay tuned. We're going to be back in just a few moments to hear from Max Voltage. But first, we're going to share a music sample from Home Momentum, and the song is titled Self-Made Man.
Straight, head up high, look everyone in the eye. Some so many ways. Strap them down, tuck it in, glue some whiskers to your chin. It's your turn, take up space, wear bravado on your face.
Your king is shifting into gear as you transform in the mirror.
Don't forget.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. That song was titled Self-Made Man from Ho Momentum, the musical, and written by Max Voltage, who is here in studio with us this evening. Welcome back to Out Loud, Max.
Thanks for having me here.
So for folks that don't know, let's maybe take a couple steps back and talk about how Momentum came to be.
Well, Ho Momentum started as a cabaret show, and it ran for 3 years. And that was drag and dance, performance art, all sorts of performance, queer performance. And then I got really inspired. I wanted to do something bigger and take a next step. At the time, I was in a band called Glitterfruit, and we had been writing a bunch of music. And so I lost my job, so suddenly I had all this time on my hands. And it was like, okay, Ho Momentum, the musical. Like, this is what's going to happen next. This is my dream. So I went and sort of took myself on a creative retreat, learned how to write a musical, and did it. And then this past November, I got a RAC grant from the Regional Art and Culture Council, and we performed the full script and soundtrack with a local cast in November at the Coho Theater, and then recorded the soundtrack album, which we did an album release show in May at the Alberta Rose.
Okay. So we were just talking before the show at the musical, the CD release, there was some dancing that happened. And so for folks that don't know, we're going to play a couple more songs from the musical, but I really want to encourage you to find Max Voltage online and find Ho Momentum online, because there's a lot more music that we're not going to have a chance to get to tonight. But that performance in May was great.
Yeah, we have 21 songs. It's a pretty epic musical.
Yeah.
And they're actually for sale. The soundtrack is for sale at In Other Words right now. So you can always buy it there. But yeah, one of the featured sort of pieces of the Ho Momentum puzzle is the boy band.
Right.
So I've always just loved boy bands. The first ever time I did Drag King was a boy band number, was a Dirty Pop by NSYNC. I was Justin. And, you know, that's just part of my gender. And so, of course, it's in my musical. And then once I finished writing the musical and was thinking about, okay, what projects do I want to do next? It was like, I think this is time to create a spinoff project that's just really focused on the music and being a performing group. So that's what's happening next, is a queer boy band.
And so if anybody's listening and they want to be part of your boy band, who are you encouraging to... And is the word apply, or they're submitting their info? Like, who are you looking for to be part of your boy band?
Yeah, I'm really excited about representing a diversity of masculine of center queers. So I'm really encouraging people of color and folks with a wide range of body types of masculine of center genders to apply. So dykes, boys, studs, tomboys, dandies, fags, butches, trans guys, gender queers. So you just need to be able to sing and dance. Those are the two qualifiers. So we are actually taking applications. So we would just need a headshot, resume, and a singing sample by this Sunday, October 5th. And then we're going to have group auditions the following Sunday.
Where can folks send their info if they want to get involved?
Yeah, email boyband@pantsoffpdx.com.
Okay. And pantsoffpdx.com has a lot of information about Ho Momentum and other stuff. So. Mm-hmm. Right on. And again, the CD that we're playing music samples. We have two more songs we're going to share, listeners. But if folks want to go out and purchase, you mentioned it's for sale at...
In Other Words.
Okay, so it's a full CD.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. And if you're not familiar, In Other Words is the feminist bookstore up on Northeast Killingsworth and Williams. Website inotherwords.org if you don't know about them. So, All right, folks can buy that locally. How about let's take another music break and we're going to come back more and talk about these auditions and stuff. Okay.
Excellent.
So this song is off of the CD that we were just talking about from Home Momentum, the musical. And the song is titled Yelling in the Dark.
Picture recipe, no mixer, race ends, finish line. I'm so lost and blue and I can't reach you. Roadblock with no detour sign. Tie with no breaker, stalemate with no maker, close call with no referee. Going nowhere fast, letting time just pass. Who am I supposed to be?
That song was Yelling in the Dark from Home Momentum. And my name is Carla. You're listening to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show. And we've been speaking with Max Voltage, who is the singer-songwriter, kind of creative mastermind behind Home Momentum. And Max, tell us again, you're looking for people to submit their information to be part of your boy band, right? And you're going to be doing auditions in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, so the first step of, like, I want to be in a queer boy band, your first step is send me an email with a picture of yourself, a sample of yourself singing. It could just be a recording from your phone. It could be a video, whatever. And then just a basic resume. What are your skills? What experience do you have performance-wise? And send those to boyband@pantsoffpdx.com. And those are due by Sunday, October 5th. So that's the first round. And then if we're like, yes, this is a good fit, we'll invite you to come to the group audition, which is happening Sunday, October 12th at 7 p.m. at In Other Words. And at the group audition, we will, everyone will perform a 1 to 2 minute boy band piece showing off their skills. And then we're going to learn some harmonies and learn some dance moves and boy band together and see how it goes.
Right on.
Boybound is a verb now, by the way.
Okay. Now, can the public, like me, come and watch these auditions?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Someone asked, actually, was like, oh, can I come take pictures? And I love the idea, but it's a very it's very tender. It's very tender. It's very vulnerable. A lot of times with Home Into the Musical, for example, a lot of people are auditioning for the first time. So there's already a lot of pressure, you know, in that experience. So we want to make sure it's as low stress as possible, because it's already going to be stressful for people who are, you know, putting themselves out there. So, but you can definitely come see our shows once we are ready to go.
Okay.
So, and that will be Pants Off PDX is the website, which is my event production company that I've been doing since 2008. So all the information about how to scream your head off in the audience at the boy band will be on there.
Okay. There might be a list of groupies or something. There might be some cheerleaders. I don't know what.
Yeah.
But
I mean, what would be a boy band without groupies? I mean, it's pretty. We won't audition for groupies, but I think we will definitely be recruiting for groupies.
Okay.
And we're looking for folks to, I mean, the primary skill set is to sing and dance.
Right.
But we're also going to want to build some live music around it, too. So if you have ability to play musical instruments and sing and dance, bonus points, or if you're interested in being part of the band, always looking for performers and musicians. So feel, you know, always send me an email to that boy band at pantsoffpdx.com, and if you want to get involved, we can see if there's a place for you in the Home Momentum Empire.
And that was going to be one of my next questions, is so you're going to put this boy band together, and then the community can come see you do your thing.
Yeah.
Are you going to write more new songs? And just for folks that don't know, Max writes a lot of music in conjunction with other people, sometimes alone. But so are you envisioning that the boy band will be performing new stuff or more of the Home Momentum repertoire or what?
I think my vision is we're going to start with some covers, you know, get familiar with some, you know, New Kids on the Block, maybe Little Boys to Men, maybe a little NSYNC, you know, cover the, do our boy band, you know, history and get the basics, and probably start with a little bit more of an a cappella feel, and because I love a cappella anyway, it's so fun, and just find ourselves together as a group and find our groove and then sort of go from there. But I have lots of more boy band ideas for writing original boy band songs too, really queering it up too. I think that boy band is such a fun format, but it tends to be really gender binary. It tends to be really heterosexual. So really queering it, really gender bending it too. Like what is it to be a boy? Like what does that mean? Who can be a boy? And playing with that format and really sort of expanding it, but also using the format too. Mm-hmm. So finding that duality and probably playing with it with the type of songs we sing as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very exciting. I'll be down in the front row with the other groupies. Okay.
Bring things to throw at us.
Yay. Like money.
Like money and underwear.
Oh, okay. Or glitter, but no money. Okay, yeah.
Roses? Flowers?
Yay.
I don't know.
So have you come up with a name for this boy band? Is that secret or can you share?
Yeah, I mean, the name is going to be The Real Boys.
Okay.
With a Z.
Okay.
With a little Pinocchio hat on the R.
Okay.
So, yes, I've been doodling some logos.
Okay.
But
right on. You are a business owner, so right on.
Yeah.
Okay. So for folks that have just joined us, you're listening to Out Loud. This is the Queer Culture Radio Show on KBOO. My name is Carla. We've been speaking with Max Voltage about Home Momentum, the musical, and Max is recruiting for the boy band, The Real Boys.
Mm-hmm.
Which we now know is the name. But tell us that email one more time for folks to send the face photo, the resume, some kind of music sample.
Yeah, boyband@pantsoffpdx.com. And also for more info generally, it's www.pantsoffpdx.com.
Okay.
Pants Off Productions.
Right on. And so we keep talking about boy, but I just want to ask with your email, is it B-O-Y or B-O-I?
B-O-Y. That's a great question, though.
Okay. And for folks that don't know, should we maybe just explain? Sometimes there's a play on that word and it's spelled B-O-I. And what is that about?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just another way of saying boy, but including more people.
Right.
You know, and I have in my list of people that include it is included in the boy band. It's B-O-I-S as well as B-O-Y-S. So yeah, all the type of all the spellings are included in our boy band.
Wonderful. And that's, I knew that, but just to make sure listeners, we're all on the same page.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I really loved about Home Momentum and this whole process that you've been putting together, the production, is really playing with that gender idea and that, you know, being a boy is not just one thing and being a girl is not just one thing in that spectrum. And for folks that aren't familiar, I encourage you to check out what Max has been doing with this Home Momentum world. And soon enough, there will be a boy band coming out of this project. So let's take one more music sample. And now before we go to our music break, though, we do need to kind of say goodbye to Max, though. Hopefully you'll stick around for, we are going to move the conversation into another interview with St. Herodin, and hopefully Max will stick around for that. But before we say goodbye, Max, is there any closing thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
Yeah, I'm just, if you, maybe you don't want to be in the boy band, but maybe you know someone that does. So I think that's part of the process too, of like, go queer, brain meld, you know, like if you know someone, oh my gosh, my friend is just a boy band creature waiting to happen. Like, please let them know about it. Please tell your friends, get the word out there the old fashioned way too. Like, text some people. Yeah, texting is old fashioned, but you know, yeah, like let people know, you know, this is happening. And we really want to get the word out there to a diverse crowd of people. So, yeah.
Wonderful. And listeners, Max's interview, this radio show, will be on the website a little bit after the show, kboo.fm/outloud. So if you just want to share this interview with your friends, that's another idea. So
fabulous.
Pass it on.
Excellent.
Right on. So Max, tell us about, we're going to hear this song, Love is Cheesy, but tell us a little bit about this song.
This is the sort of culmination of the musical. There's some class rising up dynamics that are happening in this world of Metopia, and the boy band just sort of shows up, and Eli, who's the protagonist, sort of, the boy band is just like this magical, amazing, just like fairy god boys, you know, like the sort of like fairies that show up and are like supporting the protagonist. So they just show up and help Eli at the end here, like win the girl over. And so this is the big culmination of Eli like becoming a performer in the boy band, really stepping into it. So it's called Love is Cheesy.
Right on. Thank you, Max Voltage. Here we go.
You're the metal to my magnet, poetry to my prose. You're the bubble to my fizzy and the nozzle for my hose. The cheese to my crackers, best thing since sliced bread. When we dance, it's gravy. You're the ginger to my bread. You make me want to write cheesy love notes. These cliche metaphors and lots of famous quotes. We're so cute, we make our friends queasy. Cause falling in love is cheesy. Yeah, falling in love is cheesy.
The sky is in your eyes, my heart is in your hands. You're the only one who understands. Tearing up my heart, it's gonna be me. The wind beneath my wings, I want to break free.
You make me want to write cheesy love notes. These cliche metaphors and lots of famous quotes. We're so cute, we make our friends queasy.
I was an oyster, and you could be my pearl.
I am in the crosshairs of your loving gun. Hit me with your best shot, your laser set to stun.
These overused pickup lines, similes and silly rhymes, just can't help but cheese it up when love's on my mind.
In my alphabet, you and I would be together.
Do you believe in love at first sight? Or should I walk by again?
You make me want to write cheesy love notes. These cliche metaphors and lots of famous quotes. We're so cute, we make our friends queasy. Cause falling in love
Welcome back to Out Loud, the Queer Culture Radio Show. My name is Carla. That song was titled Love is Cheesy from Ho Momentum, the musical. We have been speaking with Max Voltage, who is the singer-songwriter behind a lot of those songs. And hopefully Max will be back soon to let us know where to see their boy band perform in the near future. Well, a girl can dream anyway. Next, we're going to move into an interview and talk about something that's a little bit different, but kind of related. I'd like to welcome Dom to the studios. Welcome to KBOO.
Hey, Carla. Great to be here.
It's so great to have you here. Now, you are visiting Portland, and you will be leaving after this next weekend.
Correct.
But you came to town for something really, really special. Tell us about that.
That's right. Mary Going and I are in town for St. Herodin, the clothing company from Oakland, California. We're doing a nationwide pop-up tour. Portland is our 11th stop in 2014. And what we do is travel the nation with a trunk show where we fit people in what is the first off-the-rack fitting, beautiful, elegant, masculine, men's style suit that is made to fit a woman's body or a trans man's body.
Wonderful. And so last weekend, you were really busy. And it sounds like this next weekend, you still have time for folks. Folks can still come and find you. First, tell us where to find you online.
For sure. We are at saintherodin.com. And that's Saint, S-A-I-N-T. And then the word Herodin, H-A-R-R-I-D-A-N.com. And if you look up Herodin, you'll know that it's a word that is a reclaimed word. It's an insult meant to describe a woman who is too mannish or who is too opinionated or who won't stop talking.
Okay. And so you've reclaimed the word and now Saint Herodin. How did this business, how did you and your business partner get into this line of work?
Well, Mary Going was trying to get married, or rather she was trying not to get married because she had nothing to wear. And when it became legal, she had to go on a quest to get something that was equal to the occasion. She had to look her best. And as a 5'3", 120 pounds, you know, masculine presenting person, a lot of the things that we seek are in the boys department or they're on the small, small end of the men's department. And they really don't end up fitting. And even if the clothes do fit, the customer service is really strange. So she, like so many folks from our community, had to go and do this journey with all these strange interactions and all these sort of, you know, micro judgments, and ended up getting a custom suit made, which she loved, but was so expensive and so laborious. And she's an entrepreneur. She's a hustler, you know, Mary Going. She's in Oakland by way of South Carolina, by way of Maine. Like she's run businesses before, and she saw an opportunity, not just to run a business and to fill a market need, but to create something that our community really deserves.
Right. And I'm so glad that you've been busy since you've been in Portland.
Yeah.
I'll use myself as an example that I wanted to go to a gala a couple years ago, and I won't name names, but I went into one of the men's suit stores. It's a chain at the mall kind of place. And I ended up renting a suit for the night.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really weird. I mean, like, it didn't fit me right. I felt awkward in it. Nobody measured me at the store. You know, I kind of picked my stuff out of a catalog and then I left.
Mm.
And then I realized, like, okay, I don't want to do that again, but I do want to have a suit or something that I could wear to a gala. And I don't really dress up that much, but that was the beginning of my, like, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And where do I go get clothes that fit me for this kind of dressy occasion? So it's exciting that you guys are here. If folks want to come shopping at your pop-up store.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
Where does that happen?
We'll be at 2027 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in the northeast of Portland, right north of Broadway. That's 2027 Northeast Martin Luther King, right north of Broadway. We're in the space Lightbox Culture House, right behind Tiny's Coffee.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Thank you for those other landmarks.
Oh, yeah. We'll have balloons out front, too. If you see it, you've got to stop by.
Okay.
I mean, this is our 11th stop in the nation. And every time we hit a city, we love to see our people. We love to see how our suit fits our people. We love to know what size you are. And we love for your mom and your girlfriend and your friend and your partner. We want everybody to know what size you are, because what we find about our customers is that we're often very reticent, very hesitant shoppers. We've had a lot of awkward and frustrating experiences. And when we come to town, we bring such a great energy and such a beautiful shopping environment. I mean, it's not a shopping environment. It's like an experience. It's a place of community and of acceptance and of inclusion and of exploration and of a sort of reaching towards our truest selves or our you know, most fine selves. You know, people are shopping for a suit that is going to be something that is part of them on the most special day of their lives or on their most exciting journeys.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe for their day-to-day life if they have to wear dress-up clothes all the time.
That's right. And we want you to look good. And for mm-hmm. those folks, we want you to not have to think too hard about it. We offer a huge number of beautiful imported Italian wool custom fabrics. But our suit is meant to fit you as a 36 if you're a 36. You put it on, you finish the sleeves, and then you spend the rest of your time getting beautiful pocket squares and tie clips. But your suit shouldn't be something that you have to struggle for.
Mm-hmm. The main pieces of it, right?
That's right. That's right.
And so we had talked about people can shop with St. Haridan off the rack. Mm-hmm. And so kind of describe that. And I will admit to listeners, I am not a shopper. And so like going to buy clothes means I'm going to get a bag of Hanes t-shirts, you know, it's my shopping. And so I like looking good, but I am shopping challenged. And so you had mentioned, you know, their partners bringing people in, or it would be my mom that would bring me in.
Yeah.
Yep. Help me get cleaned up. But then when we talk about shopping off the rack, like what is that about?
It's the sizing. Okay. Like if you go into a men's store and you try to shop off the rack, you know, they'll look at you and put you maybe in a boy's size, maybe a 32 shoulder. And when you're able to shop off the rack, you're able to just select your size and put it on and maybe a few minor adjustments, but more or less it fits. Off the rack is different than custom made. Custom made is a very sort of like longer, more complex, more involved process that people who don't love to shop love even less. Off the rack means you can spot a 36, and the way that we've built it is meant to include your body the way that your body is. Our shoulders tend to be smaller than the bodies that men's suits are made for. Our shoulders are smaller. Our shoulders are rotated differently. Our chests are sure shaped differently. And so our off the rack sizes are not men's off the rack sizes. They're meant for bodies of women and trans men and people who are shaped quite differently.
Okay. And you guys have pants.
You
mentioned the ties and the clips and you've got the accessories, but you have like dress shirts, you have dress pants. So not just the suit, but you've got all sorts of this formal wear.
Right. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
We make suits. That's a jacket and trousers. We make custom dress shirts that fit you at your chest, your neck, and your sleeve. So we measure you and make sure that you fit. And you'll have a shirt that fits close at your collar that looks stunning with a tie that looks perfect. And we also sell socks, ties, tie clips, things you didn't know you needed until you started getting more and more dapper and started actually finding yourself through fashion, started learning to express who you are when you look, you know, cleaned up.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And so you mentioned measuring someone. So mm-hmm. so the clothes are, I guess I'm going to say, made to measure, right?
The shirts certainly are.
Okay.
We call them quasi-custom because we do a three-point custom. The most problematic areas to fit in a men's shirt when you're shopping in a men's store are the chest, neck, and sleeve. So we measure your chest, your neck, and your sleeve, and we make shirts that are for you. And then with the suit, we put you in a standard size, and we see beautiful fits right off the rack. People walk away knowing that they can wear a 36, 32 outstandingly.
Right on. Okay. And so, again, listeners, if you've just joined the conversation, my name's Carla, and we've been speaking with Dom, and the business is St. Haridan. The website is Saint, spelled out, saintharidan.com, and they are going to be here in Portland with their pop-up shop this weekend. What can folks expect for folks that are going to come find you this mm-hmm. weekend? What happens? They walk in, they start looking around.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I expect it to be busy.
Okay.
I definitely expect that in our last weekend in Portland on Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be a good crowd of people, which is Mary and I hustle to serve as many people as beautifully as we can when we're in that space. It is a sacred space. But everybody who's there deserves the best of our service. So we juggle, you know, trying pants on this person, trying a jacket on this person, trying a shirt on this person, and getting folks through the whole process, because when you walk away, we want you to know your size in everything that we sell. We want you to know your St. Herodin size, your St. Herodin jacket, St. Herodin trousers, St. Herodin shirt. So in the early hours, expect that it will be a little bit easier to get time, to get fitted, to think through your choices, to look at fabrics, to touch things. And also expect a lot of allies and friends, and we call them fashion consultants. I don't always know what the relationship is, but people, femmes, you know, drag their butches in, butches drag their butch friends in, you know, tomboys, studs, aggressives, like whoever wants to come, often come with an entourage, not just for the support and the fashion consultancy, but like for the community. Like, this is the first thing of its kind that has ever existed for us. Mm-hmm. And to be part of it in our inaugural tour, while these are the first garments that we offer, there will be more. You know, our company and our brand will expand, but expect the vibe of something new that has never happened before. St. Herodin is serving a need that we have always felt, that sometimes we haven't even acknowledged we felt, because it doesn't feel good to not be served. Mm-hmm. And now we're served, and that's what we invite people to join us for on Saturday and Sunday. That is this weekend, October 4th and 5th, in the venue called Lightbox Culture House, right behind Tiny's Coffee at 2027 Northeast Martin Luther King Boulevard in Portland, right north of Broadway. And online, we're at saintherodin.com. That's Saint, S-A-I-N-T, Herodin, H-A-R-R-I-D-A-N.com. Saint Herodin. We make suits.
Right on. Now, we are starting to run out of time, but before we say our goodbyes, you've mentioned that you're on a big tour, and maybe listeners might want to turn their friends on to you guys. Sure. In other cities. So maybe give us a couple names of some of the other places you're going on your tour.
For sure. The rest of 2014, we finish up with P-Town. We're going to Provincetown in October. It's going to be fun. We're going to be in Chicago in November. That's going to be fun. We're going to be in LA in December, and then in New York for Fashion Week in early December, I think December 6th. So in the rest of 2014, after Portland, we'll be in P-Town, Chicago, LA, and New York. And everything here is on our Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/ St. Herodin, S-A-I-N-T-H-A-R-R-I-D-A-N.
Okay. And so for listeners, hopefully you'll get a chance to sample their excitement while they're here in town. But certainly let your friends know in those other cities as St. Herodin.
Come get fitted.
Brings their pop-up tour around the U.S. So I wish we had more time. I wanted to talk more about gender and clothes and all sorts of things. So hopefully you and your team will be coming back to Portland again.
Oh, sure.
But until then, any closing thoughts that you want to leave with our listeners?
I if you've ever thought about it, I want you to come try on a suit. Come see how you feel. People cry. It's kind of unbelievable. You got to come.
Right on. Thank you for that. So again, we're wrapping things up with Dom, who's involved with the St. Herodin pop-up store. You can find them in Portland through this coming weekend. They're also on Facebook and their website, saintherodin.com. So thank you so much, Dom, for coming in today.
Right. Thank on. You.
And next, we're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back in just a few moments. Let us give a listen to Bull Dagger Swagger.
To every young man who can't pass, from every lipstick lazy lass, from every drag queen's high-heeled stagger, to every bull dagger swagger, do the bull dagger, bull dagger swagger, do the bull dagger swagger, do the bull dagger swagger, yeah. I went to charm school, I got a degree in full-fledged femininity. You know now, I'm not trying to be a man, I'm just a being who and that's a very, very, very butch, a lesbian. Do the bull dagger swagger, do the bull. the ladies' room, I had to pee. Why was everybody staring at me? A little girl giggled, a lady gasped, one woman almost had a heart attack. She started doing the bulldagger swagger, do the bulldagger swagger, do the bulldagger swagger, yeah, yeah. To every young man who can't pass, from every lipstick lazy lass, from every drag queen's high-heeled stagger, to every bulldagger swagger, do the bulldagger, bulldagger swagger, do the bulldagger, bulldagger swagger, do the bulldagger, bulldagger swagger, yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Out Loud, the queer culture radio show on KBOO. My name is Carla, and that song we just heard was from Frank called Bulldagger Swagger. And I thought that would just be a nice transition to acknowledge the St. Herodin conversation, as well as Max Voltage, and just a lot of conversation around gender stuff on tonight's show. And now we're going to kind of switch gears a little bit and move into schools and talking about young people. And I want to welcome Glenn Goodfellow back to the show. Welcome back, Glenn.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And so you've been involved with the Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition for a while. And what's your role with the Oregon Safe Schools?
Yep, I've been part of Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition for about, it's going on 5 years. I love it. And so it's just really meaningful work. And so I've been doing it for, I'm surprised to hear myself say that, for 5 years.
Right on. As a volunteer, just to give you props, right?
Yeah. You know, okay. The organization is, it's a nonprofit and it's almost entirely all volunteers.
Okay, that's awesome. The website for folks that don't know about it?
It is OregonSafeSchools.org.
Okay, fabulous. And Safe Schools has been doing a lot of different stuff over the last couple of years. And tonight we're going to be focusing on some research or some data collection that your team has been working on around the state of safe schools in Oregon.
Yeah, I thought maybe before we talk about the state of our schools, maybe I'll kind of give a preface as to our organization and kind of how it came to be.
That sounds perfect.
So about 10 years ago, there were a handful of people that all came together and they shared something in common. And they worked in schools. And some of them were counselors and some of them were teachers. And in one capacity or another, they found each other all talking about the same thing. And that is that harassment and bullying, especially for queer identified and even not identified kiddos, was out of control and something had to be done about it. And so they got together and loosely formed a coalition of people to kind of pay attention to that. And those are the seed foundations of Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition. So now you could broadly say that OSSCC, which we just kind of use that, or say Oregon Safe Schools, is basically, we just believe that youth deserve to feel safe and welcome at school and in their communities. And a little more specifically, we realize that youth suicide and other risk behaviors are just really amplified for LGBTQ youth. And we're also aware that that's threaded in together with oppression and harassment of all people. And so it's broad and encompassing work, and it's great to be part of it.
It's so exciting. And that's where I know, you know, just one example, you guys offer a lot of services that we're not going to have time to talk about all the different services tonight. But I encourage folks to check out their website. And I know one of the things that Oregon Safe Schools helps families with is if there's a situation going on in their school with their child.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're not getting help from the principal, mm-hmm. or whoever their support person is. And so sometimes you get phone calls from parents who need help at their school with their child.
Most definitely. Oftentimes mm-hmm. people will come to us when there is nobody else to speak to. And sometimes that is in rural Oregon because we're statewide. And sometimes that's part of a behemoth school district, say like here in Portland. And so what happens when your child is denied access to a bathroom that they would like to use? Or if somebody's kicked out of a club or can't start a gay straight alliance? experience. And so people start looking for resources and they end up on our doorstep.
Right on. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that and say a huge thank you to everybody who's involved with Oregon Safe Schools, because you guys deal with a lot of stuff that for some families really is a life or death issue with their young people.
Yeah. And you know what? We, as much as I'd like to, we don't get to take credit for all of that because we're a coalition of members. And so because we're only volunteers, we can't do all of the work ourselves. And so we just have fantastic connections with all sorts of people doing this amazing work. And that's from folks like Transactive and the Q Center and SMRC and everybody in between. So it's so nice just to be part of this broad community that can all band together and kind of do this work. You know, you had referenced that we're often a resource for parents. And just really quick, we just so kind of put that in your head of some other stuff that we do. The state has many gay straight alliances. They're called GSAs, which are kind of the queer clubs in school. We offer mini grants to help support those in conjunction with PFLAG. We also generate things like posters, like anti-hate, and there's no place for that kind of stuff in my school posters and distribute. And then also we support things like the Oregon Queer Youth Summit and the Multnomah Youth Commission Anti-Violence Summit. Lots of work.
And that coalition and that community building, yeah. And again, I want to say just a straight thank you, you know, to everybody who's involved, knowing that a lot of times it's those collaborations that make a huge difference. And so, yeah, as a team of volunteers, those relationships are so important. So one of the things you've also been doing, I guess, is, you know, around some research. And for folks that don't know, a couple years ago, Oregon passed a law around safe schools. And maybe let's start there. So,
yeah, that's a great place. You know, when our organization began, there really was not a lot of legislation on the books that kept things like gender and gender expression safely tucked as a protected class in handbooks and policies for the school. And in 2009, those were added to the long list of things that we are not allowed to discriminate against, and outlined a handful, and it's a little more complicated than we can talk about right here, but a handful of the different steps and procedures that we have to go through in a public school setting if a situation of harassment happens. For example, we need to know clearly in a handbook who's the adult that we report that back to, and what's the form that you fill out, and what's the procedure, and is that actually articulated in your handbook? And so when that legislation rolled out, and it was amended and some additional components were added in about 2012, it all rolled out, but there really was no funding for any of it. So this information came out to all these schools saying, you have to do this and this has to happen. And there was really nobody to pay attention to it or funding to make it happen. And Oregon Safe Schools and Communities Coalition saw that as a great project for us to sink our teeth into.
Right on. And so you've been making some phone calls, or you and your team, I keep saying team, many, many, many people have
many,
been making,
many people.
Making phone calls.
Yes, if they're listening, they say, Glenn's not doing all of that work himself. yes, you know, one of the endeavors that we started, this is our third year doing it, is that we wanted to see what is the status of all of that change that was called for in the Safe Schools legislation. And so what we did rather ambitiously, again, all volunteer organization, is that we partnered up with our friends at OGALA, the LGBT Bar Association of Oregon, and then also some senior researchers with the Oregon Department of Education and with Q Center this year. And we collected all of the handbooks and all of the anti-harassment policies from every school district in the state of Oregon. And do you want to take a guess how many school districts there are?
58.
About 200, 197,
oh, wow.
Give or take. And that is everything from, again, big school districts like Portland here in Multnomah County, and then also our friends way out in Eastern Oregon.
Okay. So you got a lot of school handbooks coming back.
Yes, yes, we do. And if you want to see information about those past reports, I encourage everybody to visit OregonSafeSchools.org. And so when we look through those policies, especially with the help of our legal friends who are able to read words and policies in a way that the rest of us just can't really understand, we look for things like, you know, are gender identity and sexual orientation a protected class? Are those reporting procedures on harassment, are they articulated? How does it actually define bullying and harassment? And so in this case, what we do is we have created, with the assistance of our friends at OGALA, an extensive rubric that allows us to literally score and to kind of see how everybody's doing. And so for the past couple of years, we've been putting out a report that rates each district, so not individual schools, just the districts, and to kind of rate them on a gold, silver, or a bronze scale.
Right on. Okay, so Only because we're in Portland, I want to know. Well, how did Portland Public Schools score?
Gold all the way.
Okay, great. Yay. I wasn't sure, but yay.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And of course, if you wanted to see that report, you could just go to OregonSafeSchools.org and take a look at it. We're in the process of collecting all of those handbooks. And like I said, we're working in conjunction with Q Center. You know, we received a fantastic grant from the Northwest Health Foundation and the Meyer Memorial Trust. We say thank you to them so much for allowing this work to happen. And so to go through with a fine-tooth comb and then to research all of that and put it in place and kind of compile the data, it takes a really long time. So we're hoping in the month of October, we will roll out the new scoring. And it's always really interesting to see how many of the districts have moved up from their ranking in the previous year.
Okay. Dare I ask who was at the bottom? Or maybe we shouldn't draw attention to that. But
yes, we're all on a journey, Carla. Yeah. We're all on a journey. And because there are so many points, it's not this saying that somebody is winning or somebody's right. losing. Of course, we don't right. look at through that lens. But we do see a lot of opportunity to help people identify that they have some pieces missing in their handbook and legislation. And, you know, we remind ourselves, too, that it's very rarely that a school district will intentionally omit that type of work. Instead, it's just one of thousands of things that roll out from the top down that those schools are supposed to be doing. And oftentimes with not a lot of resources, or in this case, our finances. And so it often helps them out quite a bit to identify that they have got some work to do.
Okay. Wonderful. And for folks that aren't familiar, I do just want to give a couple of examples. You mentioned, around safe schools, the legislation that was passed, and, you know, I'm just imagining, you know, if folks don't understand, you know, what are some of the concerns that come up in school? So you mentioned access to bathrooms. You also mentioned having an adult clearly designated to be the point person for reporting. These policies are supposed to be in the school handbook. Those are all parts of the law. Other things that maybe you think some of the other important details that listeners should be aware of?
Right. I would say, again, if you're looking for resources, anything in this vein, there's a couple places you can go. Definitely visit OregonSafeSchools.org. Also, Basic Rights Oregon was really instrumental in getting that legislation passed. So they have the full 2009 Safe Schools Act and the revision information available on their website.
Okay.
But when you do start thinking about the ways that you know, sometimes subtle and sometimes not so subtle harassment and bullying takes place. Sometimes we think a lot about like physical issues, like somebody who's slammed against the lockers or someone's really harassed. But it can be everything from, you know, somebody cuts their hair too short and they're asked to leave a team. They're not allowed to start an organization in their school. Something they're wearing is considered really offensive. Or if you think of it less through the lens of the child, say, for example, not too long ago, there was a student teacher who admitted to one of the students, I shouldn't say admitted, he referenced that he was a gay person and he was asked to leave. And so sometimes that is not just about students, but it's about everybody in a school community feeling safe. And again, I'll say that it's not necessarily about a self-identification of being LGBTQ or somewhere in one of those silos. Those labels are really put on, especially at a young age, by other people. So It's interesting to note that a lot of the people that report being harassed and hearing those terms don't even identify as that themselves.
Okay, thank you. And that's a very important detail. I'm glad you clarified that for folks that aren't familiar with the Oregon Safe Schools legislation, it is not just about the rainbow children, right? It's about everybody.
Correct.
Racial prejudice, that's not safe. Gender issues, that's not safe. I mean, so it's not about being gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender. It's not about any of that. It's about everybody being safe.
Exactly, exactly. And there are many organizations just like ours that view the world and through those students with a different lens. And that could be through race, that could be through social economic status, through location of their homes. And we all kind of pool together to realize that all ships raised when it comes to making sure everybody's safe and sound in school.
Absolutely. And one other detail that a lot of folks don't think about, like with students and especially teenagers as they're finishing high school, something that I appreciated. I mean, the Safe Schools does so much to protect student safety, but something that's really important for a lot of young people is that the name on their high school diploma matches the name that they call themselves, which may or may not be their birth name. So something that's important, a young person can be sure that the name on their high school diploma is the name that they want. So a lot of adults don't know that. It's part of their legal right. So
yeah. And, you know, oftentimes in our community, especially I feel like in the queer community, it's the young people that really push that envelope the best. They're very good at it if you work around teenagers. And so oftentimes, you know, the vernacular they're using to describe themselves, the actions that they're doing, it doesn't take very long to be out of high school to identify that behavior. It's like, wow, that's really unlike how I identify that age or what I'm personally comfortable with. And like, what does that mean? And what is the law state? And you're right. And like oftentimes I say, you know, with working with youth is really looking to the future about how the rest of us are all going to be interacting in some way.
Right on.
And while we're talking all about that, I wanted to draw your attention to a fabulous event that we're having. It's just this Saturday. And I'll just keep saying it so people can get that in their head, that if you go to OregonSafeSchools.org, all this information is there. And a part of this work, sometimes when there's such a heavy topic and there's so much work to be done, we forget to take a time to acknowledge achievement and to celebrate the work that is being done and to not to say pat ourselves on the back, but just to acknowledge that we're working hard and there are people doing some really good work that we typically don't get to hear about much. And so in conjunction with the report for the past 3 years, we have hosted the Oregon Safe School Awards. And basically it's a small awards ceremony where our organization acknowledges a handful of people that have been identified by our coalition members as doing fabulous work to keep LGBTQ and other students safe in their school communities. And so a little information about that, like I said, the Safe School Awards are taking place this Saturday, October 4th at 10 a.m. in the morning. We'll have coffee, don't worry. And it's taking place with our friends over at the Planned Parenthood offices over on MLK. And if you want to find out more information about the Safe School Awards, you can go to OregonSafeSchools.org.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Glenn, for being on the show this evening. And can we say anything about who's getting the awards on Saturday?
You know, we do not typically announce it in advance.
Okay, just check in.
But I will say, you know, in the past, those awards have gone out to different GSAs around the state and different, say, for example, the Multnomah Youth Commission received an award. And for the adults that work, so we tend to have some districts, some GSAs, different organizations, different youth leadership. And it's so inspiring just to hear and to meet all the people doing this amazing work. It's just total blood, sweat, and tears, and oftentimes unsung heroes. And it's just a lovely time. So I hope people can make it. It's this Saturday at 10 a.m., the Oregon Safe School Awards at the Planned Parenthood offices up there on Northeast MLK.
Just a little bit north of Fremont. Okay. So thanks again, Glenn, for being on the show this evening. And thank you to everyone involved with Oregon Safe Schools for all of your hard work. And please come back again soon and let us know what other great things you guys are up to.
Oh, of course. And I couldn't be here without saying thanks to you and to KBOO for all the great work you do for our community.
Right on. You're welcome. Share the love right back at you. listeners, we are running out of time and we do need to say our goodbyes, but we're going to go out with one more song from Max Voltage. And it is from their CD. Remember, we talked earlier in the show, Max Voltage, the Ho Momentum, the musical. It is a song titled Narcissexual. And this is a little sample of some of the music that the boy band will be, Max is recruiting for the boy band. So here's a little sample of what this band might sound like eventually. Before we hear the music, though, I do want to say goodbye to our listeners. Thanks so much for tuning in this evening. Again, you can find us on Facebook or on Twitter at KBOO Out Loud. You can also send us an email at outloudradio@gmail.com. Thanks again. My name is Carla, and we're going to say goodbye with Narcissexual from Ho Momentum of the Musical.
The skirt that you are wearing looks a bit like mine. Haircut you are sporting like a mirror mighty fine. Do you or be you? All of the above. You remind me of me, myself I sure do love. Narcissexual, double banging homosexual. You look a bit like me, remind me of me. Oh, the way you walk, similar to my stride. And when we talk, it can be quite a ride. So much in common, be still my heart. Now that we've found ourselves, let's never be apart. Narcissexual, a double-banging homosexual. You look a bit like me, remind me of me. We're both into music, I like the same bands, going out dancing, holding our own hands. Dates are always dreamy, we like to nature hike. Often we are seen riding our own tandem bike. They say that us queers are self-absorbed. We're just so awesome, we want ourselves more. Narcissexual, a double-banging homosexual. You look a bit like me,